about when I was in church, they have testimony services. This one lady just showed up out of the blue. I'd been there for a while, never seen her. She showed up and testimony time. And I am not making this up. Just understand, this isn't a parable that I'm just, this is a real thing that happened. And she stands up and she says, I am so glad that 30 years ago, God sanctified me wholly and I haven't sinned since that day. Her testimony was how she is so wonderful and no longer sins. For 30 years. And that was, if she's still alive, it's about 50 years now. But the pastor got up and tried to explain very nicely that we don't get to where we don't sin anymore, but we can sin less. Not be sinless, but sin less. But that's not the only time. I preached a funeral, and after I got done presenting the gospel, and everything seemed to go well and all that, and I'm talking to people, and this lady comes up. She says, that was a very good message. Thank you very much. I said, well, thank you. She said, except the fact that where you said that all of us sin every day in thought, word, and deed, I don't believe that at all. I haven't sinned in years. I said, you just did. You just lied to me. Now, we were at a funeral, so I wasn't going to argue with the lady. But she says, oh, you know, and just, I said, that's just the reality. And then she introduced her husband, and we went on from there. There are people out there who believe that stuff. They believe they've reached a point where they don't sin anymore. I'm sorry, but if you think that, you're crazy. You are dishonest with yourself. You need to go look in the mirror and say, stop lying to me. Because the rest of us can see it. But that's what James is dealing with. I love this quote from J. Vernon McGee. I wish I could do a better imitation of him. It is ironic when a prisoner actually murders another prisoner because he considers his crime a terrible thing. That happens. I've actually worked in prison for a short time. Sometimes I'll just say I was in prison for a little while. But I worked there for a little while, and I have relatives, a cousin, my late uncle, other people I know who work, and they can all tell you that they've all seen this kind of thing, and if you watch the news, you'll see it. Why did this guy in prison kill that guy in prison? Because this guy thought that guy was a scumbag for what he did. Yeah. They're both in prison for committing crime, and in some cases, they're violent crimes.
But, I'm above that. I might have killed somebody, but I didn't do that.
You know, just... So J. Vernon McGee, he continues, but my friend, you do not have to go to the penitentiary to find that attitude. You will find people outside of prison who are looking down upon others in the same way. We all stand before God as lawbreakers. Amen? And that's the truth right there. That's a good quote. So on to verse 12, he says, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is the law of Christ. The law of liberty is to keep His commandments. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. We should keep His commandments. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. Let's look scripture with scripture. If there's one thing Jesus hates, it is hypocrisy. I wish old brother Doug was here because he's made reference to this a couple of times in the last few weeks. But let's turn over to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I'm just going to read, I picked three verses out of here talking about Jesus and his attitude toward hypocrisy. He hates it. Verses 13 through 15. Read it with me. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. I'm just laughing because all these people act like Jesus never chewed anybody up and spit them out, man. That's bad stuff right there. I mean, you're talking about, that's like walking up to the governor or someone, you know, one of these elites in our society and just ripping them. That's Jesus. And you think he's nasty about sin there? You ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, what he's going to do in Revelation 19 when he returns, and what he's going to do at the great white throne when he's the one who is the judge, and when he pronounces you guilty, and he's going to look a lost man or woman who has rejected his free offer of salvation, he's going to look him in the eye and say, "Depart from me to everlasting punishment." And under the orders of the perfect, sinless Son of God as judge, that every single Christ-rejecting fool will then be cast into the lake of fire. That's the real Jesus. And the law of Christ, look over at John, Gospel of John. John 13, 33 to 35. I'll start reading while you turn there. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you." Isn't that sweet? See, Jesus can be sweet. He's sweet as can be. Just don't make him sweet when he's dealing with hypocrites like the Pharisees or Christ rejecting unrepentant wicked people, because he's not sweet to them. But he's going to, you want Jesus to be sweet with you, become one of his children. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you." Read verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And there's a reason for that. Remember what I said about the people who pretend to be right with God but are doing wrong to others, and the disaster that is? Well, this is why Jesus wants us to love one another, and it's beyond these four walls, by the way. It's all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to love one another. Why? There's a reason. Verse 35, read it. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." One of the most disastrous things in my lifetime has just been seeing fundamentalists and evangelicals air out their differences and discuss for one another in newspapers and newsletters and on the internet and everything. You know what? They should call each other up. You know, a lot of that's cowardice. They ought to have the courage to call the guy up and say, "You know, instead of putting this in my paper, I want to say this to your face." And go in a room somewhere and leave the rest of us out of it. Amen? I think that's a good idea. I don't even care if they come to fist fight about it. You know, maybe a lot of guys have fist fight and they become best friends. Maybe that's what would happen with some of these guys fighting one another and everything. I have people all the time ask me, "Won't you make a video about so-and-so?" And I'm like, you know, I've made a couple of videos defending the truth whenever someone has come at me or this ministry or something like that. But that's not what God's called me to do. And what I prefer and what I've done in the past with someone like that, I say, "Call me," or I call them. And I talk to them and I try to hash the thing out. And I let them know. I've done this a few times through the years. I say, "Listen, this ain't nobody between, this is between me and you. I'm not going to go air this out on the internet or anything. But you're wrong about this, or we need to talk about this," or whatever. And there's been a couple times where I called and apologized. There's been a couple times that through the years I've had to call up and eat crow. What's worse, eating crow or damaging the cause of Christ? This is also laid out by the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. I want to start reading while you turn there. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you." What he's saying is it's not new, but it is new. In other words, when Jesus gave it, it was new. But it's not really new, because Jesus gave it before him. But, go on, it says, "Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Look at this. This is related directly to our text in James. "He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Listen, some people here at BBS sometimes get under my skin. You know what I know? I get under their skin too. If not, there's something wrong with you. I will get under your skin. If you're around me enough, I will get under your skin. There comes a time when you've had enough of Pastor Greg. There comes a time I have enough of you or all of you or some of you. Why? We're all human. You know? And so what we have to do is get used to that. You know what? We're dealing with human beings. Because if not, what that'll do is that'll fester and you'll start to get an attitude about people that'll grow to the point where, if you're honest, you've grown to hate that person. And you should never let it get to that point. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That sounds like a strange thing to say, but you know what? I've seen a lot of people. There are a couple of people I could name right now who should be in this building at least on Sundays, or at least once a week, as the Bible says. They're not ever here. Something happened, and they got mad at somebody, and they let it build up to the point where they wouldn't tell you this, because they're dishonest. They're dishonest with themselves and they're dishonest with the Lord. But they hate that person. And there's no good reason for it. And I'm sure there's a couple of people who don't come here anymore because they hate me. I can't imagine that. But I've tried. Anytime somebody has left here or whatever, there's been a couple of people we asked not to come back. And I won't get into the specifics of that, but they had a church to go to. We lined them up with somewhere where they could have fellowship and everything, but not here because of the way they handled themselves and everything. But other than those couple of cases, I have not told any of these other people who left. Some of them moved away or whatever. I'm not talking about that. But there are some people who left, and I tried to work it out. I tried to talk to them and deal with them, and they just had this bitterness, and it just felt like hate for me or someone else in the church. And there was no good reason for it. And folks, there are a lot of people who build up that kind of animosity for other people, and there's no good reason for it. Don't ever let it just get to that point. Look at verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. That's exactly what I was talking about. These people are totally blinded to their own hate. And some of them have no Christian fellowship to speak of unless they're married to somebody or their parents or someone really close is a Christian. Outside of that, they don't have a local church. And some of these people, they've gone here, they've gone there, they've gone there. They just can't ever be happy with other people because they're so wonderful and everybody else is just so bad. And they just always offended and always building up this animosity, bitterness, and hatred toward other people. And it's just wrong. And I'll read verse 12. I write unto you, little children. And John's talking just like Jesus. Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Remember what else Jesus said to them who will not forgive? The Father in heaven isn't going to forgive you if you won't be forgiven. And all these people I'm referring to, there's not a lot of them, but there's a handful of them. They have destroyed the relationship with their Heavenly Father. If they won't forgive, they stand in unforgiveness. Now, doesn't mean they lose their salvation. It means that right now they're losing reward, not even just by not having fellowship with other believers. Then there's other reward they're going to lose out on. Now, I am not talking about people who leave a church because it's apostate. I'm not talking about you being in a church and then all of a sudden this happened to me. I was real happy in this church back in the mid-90s. Wasn't even in the ministry. I was ministering in just a lay capacity and going to other churches and filling the pulpits and everything. But it was good teaching, great fellowship. I was happy. And I walked in one day and he decided he's going to preach out of a new version. And then the next thing you know, he's pushing Calvinism. I mean, this hardcore stuff, too. Sound familiar? And so what do? So I'm not talking about that kind of situation. I have no animosity. I still, I have that pastor was a well-known teacher. I have some of his books, and he's got some good books, and I've read them, and you know all that. But I wouldn't sit under a pastor doing that. But no animosity, no hatred. That's the key thing. If you leave a church for doctrinal reasons or something like that, and it's not a matter of you just having a hatred for people, then that's another issue. But sadly, there's a lot of people who don't fellowship with other Christians because they just can't handle the fact that other people are as sinful and fallen as they are. And they let that then fester and burn them up. So hate, like love, is a verb, but it begins in the heart. How many of you have love as a verb? Talk is cheap. If you love somebody, you should do more than just say it. It's okay to say it, but you ought to show it. Amen? With hate, you can say you don't hate, but again, talk is cheap. If your actions speak of hate, there's a real problem. I just found this interesting. I read this not too long ago, back in Leviticus 19:17. It says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart." That's all the way back there in Leviticus. Thou shalt not hate thy... Why would God have to say that so many times in Scripture? Evidently, it's happening a lot. Amen? Too many times, anyway. So let me say this. Would you close this thing up? What is not hate? Disagreement is not hate. I may disagree with you about something. Doesn't mean I hate you. That's what some of these people I'm talking about. Someone disagreed with them, and suddenly they think they're hated or something. It's not. See, if you have a false standard, God hates that. But if you call disagreement hate, you've got a false standard. See? Here's another one. Confrontation. I have had to confront people about things over the years, and I've told them, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but this is something we got to deal with. And, you know, a couple of you in here, I've had to deal with your hippo yawning. Amen? And I love you, but I just don't want to see the back of your throat. I don't need to see your cavities, your fillings. Huh? What'd she say? And I have forgiven you. See, that's the thing. And that's just a joke, obviously. But there are times where I've had to deal with more serious matters. And people take that as an act of hate. It's not hate. It's biblical. Correction. Now, this is the hardest one. Somebody says something and it's just not right. I've just gotten to where I try to nicely say the truth. If you say it's wrong, well, actually, this is what the Bible says. You know, hippo yawning back there right after I talk about it. But look at that. That just get that in your mind, and you'll get along with people a whole lot better if you understand that disagreement, gentle, reasonable confrontation, correction is not hate. Those are things that people who care about you will do. Amen. And we could go on and on, and especially in Proverbs, but I want to look at one last place here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Just to show you an example of Christian love. It's not what you think. No hugs and kisses or flowers. But this is an example of Christian love. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. You there? Read 11 with me. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." There you go. Not yet. Think of that. He has withstood him to the face. You notice there what I said earlier? Paul didn't write a letter and send it to all the churches about this, which Paul was wont to do. He wrote a lot of letters to the churches. What did Paul do? He found Peter and got right in his face. Now, I shouldn't say it that way. He withstood him to the face, but it doesn't say he was hostile or screaming at him. But he did face to face. He had the courage to do that. In verse 12, read that. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." So what he's confronting Peter with is hypocrisy. Peter is acting like he believes the gospel of grace, but then when certain Jews came around, he acted like a Judaizer again and wouldn't sit with the Gentiles and eat. Back in Acts 10, he was in the house of Cornelius and ate with him. So Peter knew the truth, had already repented of what error he held, and yet then he fell back again. And so what did Paul do? He simply went to him and confronted him. And there's more about that, obviously, in Galatians chapter 2. But let's close by looking again at our text in James 2. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. In other words, be biblical. Be biblical. That's what it comes down to. Summarize, we're all sinners. Only Jesus makes us right. We're going to pick up there with verse 13 that we read for the context. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So we'll pick up verse 13 next time. That's saying as a closer. Praise book number 33.